This is Bob Decker, volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. Today I'll be reading articles on personal finance, identity theft, scams involving unemployment benefits and healthcare, as well as other topics. Our first article appeared in the May-June issue of the AARP magazine, and it was written by Karen Chaney. It provides suggestions on how to check your personal finance practices to identify costs that you might avoid. Under investigation, your finances. Use these clues to sniff out the mysteries of your money. If a private eye were assigned to uncover the state of your financial health, how would that gumshoe proceed? Picture Sam Spade, Hercule Poirot, or E.Z. Rollins at a desk, powered by a steaming cup of Java, sifting through evidence, bank statements, credit card bills, insurance policies, each one a potential clue, each one whispering a story, waiting to be heard. Sam, Hercule, Easy, or some other fictional detective would scrutinize every line item, every transaction, mulling over one question after another. Where's the money going? What's being overlooked? The truth would be in the details. And, as in any great whodunit, sometimes the most revealing clues would be the ones the Seamus wasn't even looking for. Fortunately, solving the mysteries wrapped up in your finances doesn't require a private investigator. Only the right mindset and the right questions. To crack the case, start here. Cash flow. Where is your money really going? Signs of shaky cash flow might be hiding in plain sight. Unsolicited credit card offers, letters pitching personal loans, or a growing stock of mail you've put off reading. When we ask people what their current bills are, we can hear the envelopes being torn open, said Martin Lynch, president of the Financial Counseling Association of America. Even if these red flags don't apply to you, it's still wise to analyze your cash flow. To get an idea of your spending, gather your last few months of bank and credit card statements, suggests Kristen Thompson-Polker, a financial planner with Renaissance Financial in St. Louis. Next, highlight all your income sources, including Social Security and side gigs. If you're retired, ask yourself whether you're drawing money from your savings at a sustainable pace. If you're still working, aim to allocate at least 15% of your income to savings, says Thompson-Polker. Finally, look at your free credit reports, now available weekly from each of the three major credit bureaus via annualcreditreport.com. Besides the score, 670 to 739 is generally considered good, look at your utilization ratio, the percentage of the credit available to you that you are using. To calculate that among your credit cards, divide your total outstanding balances by your total credit limits and multiply by 100. For example, if you owe $5,000 on a $10,000 limit, dividing $5,000 by $10,000 gives you 0.5. Multiplying that by 100 gets you 50%. Below 20% is ideal. Insurance. Do you have the right coverage? Insurance is a shield against life's unexpected plot twists. But are you paying too much or leaving yourself underprotected? Start with your auto and homeowners policies. You should know your premium, your deductible, and your total coverage amount for each. Try to recall when you last compared rates. Shop around for premiums every year or two to ensure that you're not overpaying, says Jeremy Zook, a financial planner in New York City. Zook suggests avoiding deductibles as low as $250 or $500, which rarely justify filing claims due to the potential impact on premiums. Instead, aim for deductibles of $1,000 to $2,000 for auto insurance and $5,000 for homeowners insurance, assuming you have sufficient emergency funds in place. Also, consider the financial impact of a one-way trip to the morgue. For some households, life insurance is essential to protect against lost income, says Jason Williams, a financial planner in McLean, Virginia. But if you're no longer working, the need may disappear. If your life insurance policy's cash value is diminishing because it's subsidizing your premiums, Zook recommends consulting a professional to determine whether to keep it, surrender it, or sell it to a life settlement company. Cash at the ready. Are you prepared for the unexpected? Any detective worth his salt knows you need an emergency stash. But it's not enough to have one. You need the right size and location too. An emergency fund should cover 3 to 6 months of expenses in liquid cash, not locked away in CDs, says David McClellan, a financial planner in Chicago. 3 months is fine if you have a more secure income, but less for less stable incomes. Aim for 6. Next, inspect where your funds are parked. There's a wide range of banks now offering yields of 4% or more, he says. If you've got $2,000 or more in emergency savings, that extra yield makes a big difference. You can unearth savings accounts offers on bankrate.com, depositaccounts.com, or similar sites, or by searching online for high-yield savings at FDIC-insured banks. Investments and income. Will your money go on the lam? The Social Security Administration estimates that if you're a 75-year-old man, your expected lifespan is 87 years. If you're a 75-year-old woman, the estimate is that you live till you're nearly 89. But if you want your retirement kitty to stick around, you may come up short if you rely on one of those average figures. There is a 50% chance you'll outlive that number, McClellan says. Plus, advances in technology and medicine are likely to expand lifespans in dramatic ways. To avoid running out of cash, McClellan recommends that a single person plan on living to 95, unless current health or chronic conditions suggest otherwise, and the couples plan on at least one of them living to 95 in any case. For retirees, maintaining some investments in stocks is essential. Most of my retired clients have portfolios with 50 to 60% in diversified stock mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, McClellan adds. This allocation provides a high enough expected return to stay ahead of inflation, helping them maintain or even grow their purchasing power. Are you puzzled about how to invest? The solution can be deceptively simple. Zook recommends starting out with 3 core funds. A U.S. stock index fund, an international stock index fund, and a bond fund. He also advises reviewing fund investment fees on Morningstar.com, aiming for those with annual fees below 0.2%. Estate planning. Is your will as sharp as your instincts? A final clue that your finances are healthy is an up-to-date estate plan. If you haven't reviewed it in the last 3 to 5 years, Williams says, you run the risk of leaving your heirs with a mess. At minimum, you will need a will, powers of attorney, and a living will, says Zook. Make sure that people close to you know about these documents and understand your wishes. Options for creating a plan include online services like FreeWill, LegalZoom, and TrustinWill, costing up to a few $100s, and group legal plans through work. For a more tailored approach, appropriate if your finances or family relationships are complicated, hiring a local estate attorney will likely cost a few $1,000s. Finally, double-check account titles and beneficiary forms to ensure that they align with your intentions. For example, if you want certain assets to pass to your spouse, consider holding the relative accounts jointly. Frank F. Praviti, a CPA who is certified in financial forensics, advises maintaining a comprehensive list of who has access to your accounts, a critical document for heirs. Some people grant online access to their accountants or tax preparers. You need to monitor that list like you would your beneficiary forms. In sum, the clues to your financial health are right under your nose. All you need to do is examine them closely and, as Hercule Poirot has said, use your little gray cells. Our second and third articles are from USA.gov, and they deal with identity theft and scams involving unemployment insurance. Identity theft, from USA.gov. Learn what identity theft is, its warning signs, and how to protect yourself. Find out how to report identity theft if your information gets stolen. What is identity theft and what are its warning signs? Identity theft happens when someone uses your personal or financial information without your permission. This information can include names and addresses, credit card or social security numbers, bank account numbers, medical insurance account numbers. You may not know that you experienced ID theft immediately. Beware of these warning signs. Bills for items that you did not buy. Debt collection calls for accounts you did not open. Information on your credit report for accounts that you did not open. Denials of loan applications. Mail stops coming to or is missing from your mailbox. How to report identity theft? To report identity theft, contact the Federal Trade Commission online at identitytheft.gov or call 1-877-438-4338. The three major credit reporting agencies. Ask them to place fraud alerts and a credit freeze on your accounts. The fraud department at your local credit card issuers, bank, and other places where you have accounts. You can use identitytheft.gov's list of steps to help you recover. You can find this list at https://www.identitytheft.gov/steps. If you believe you've experienced tax-related identity theft but have not received a notification from the IRS about it, learn about filing Form 14039. Completing the identity theft affidavit will invalidate a fraudulent return filed using your information. How identity theft happens. There are several ways that scammers can steal your identity, including in person, online, through social media, and by phone. Scammers may steal your wallet or purse to get an ID, credit, or bank cards, go through your trash to retrieve bank statements or tax documents, install skimmers at ATM machines, cash registers, and fuel pumps to digitally steal information from your bank card, get personal information from your phone when you use public Wi-Fi, use phishing to get information from you through fraudulent email, texts, or phone calls. Look through your social media accounts to find identifying information in posts or photos. Or they may ask you for personal information in online quizzes and surveys. How to protect yourself from identity theft. Do not answer phone calls, texts, social media messages, or email from numbers or people that you do not know. Do not share personal information like your bank account number, social security number, or date of birth. Collect your mail every day and place a hold on your mail when you'll be on vacation or away from your home. Review credit card and bank account statements. Watch for and report unauthorized or suspicious transactions. Understand how ATM skimming works and how to protect yourself. Learn when it is safe to use a public Wi-Fi network. Store personal information, including your social security card, in a safe place. Do not carry it in your wallet. Learn other ways to protect yourself and your credit from ID theft, and find out how to protect your child's information from identity theft. This report was last updated in May 3rd of 2024. Next article is on unemployment scams, and it also comes from USA.gov. Unemployment scams from USA.gov. Scammers are filing unemployment benefits using other people's names and personal information. learn how to protect yourself and your benefits from this type of identity theft. Warning signs of unemployment scams. You may be experiencing an unemployment scam if you did not apply for unemployment benefits but received a notice from your state unemployment office, a notice from your former employer about unemployment benefits application that you did not apply for, Form 1099-G that shows you got unemployment benefits payments when you were not expecting and never received. The 1099-G you receive may be sent to you from a state where you have never been employed. A direct deposit from your state unemployment office that you did not expect to receive. A call from someone claiming to be from your state unemployment office saying money was deposited into your account by mistake. If you did apply for unemployment benefits, you may be affected by an unemployment scam if the application you filled out online was at a fraudulent website and not from your state unemployment office. You were approved for unemployment insurance benefits but have not received them. The unemployment office rejected your application for benefits because they already received a claim under your name. How to report an unemployment scam? Report the scam to your former employer, your state unemployment insurance program, and the Federal Trade Commission at identitytheft.gov if the scammer stole personal information like your Social Security number. If you receive a Form 1099-G for unemployment benefits you did not expect or receive, learn what to do when you file your federal tax return. How to protect yourself from unemployment scams. Do not share personal information like your bank account number, Social Security number, or date of birth. Make sure that you're using the actual website or phone number for your state's official unemployment benefits agency. Request and review your credit report regularly to look for fraudulent activity like unauthorized loans or expenses. Place a freeze on your credit report to prevent someone else from applying for loans or credits under your name. Our next article is a consumer alert from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services on fraud schemes in behavioral health treatment centers that target Native American communities. Consumer alert: fraud schemes targeting Native American communities in behavioral health treatment centers. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, OIG, is alerting the public about fraudulent activities aimed at members of Native American communities in relation to behavioral health outpatient treatment centers, or OTCs. These schemes involve scammers who specifically target vulnerable Native Americans by establishing phony sober living homes that claim to provide addiction treatment and support. However, these homes are actually fronts for illegal activities, posing a significant risk to individuals seeking help. In addition, Native Americans are falling victims to schemes involving trafficking and healthcare fraud. Perpetrators masquerading as healthcare providers, offering fake medical services or treatments, while simultaneously stealing personal information and medical identities. They then fraudulently bill for services that were never provided. Another method employed by these schemes involves the recruitment of Native Americans by employees of OTCs, often working for fraudulent providers outside of Native American reservations. These employees/recruiters entice prospects by offering inducements such as food, cash incentives, money for rent, and other gifts. After undergoing an intake process with a licensed behavioral professional, or BHP, specializing in substance abuse counseling, the suspect company bills Medicaid for services that do not align with the actual time spent. It is crucial to remain vigilant and protect yourself from these deceptive schemes. If you have any information regarding the fraud scheme described above, please contact the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General at tips.hhs hhs.gov, by mail at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Inspector General, attention, OIG Hotline Operations, P.O. Box 23489, Washington, D.C., 20026, or by phone at 1-800-HHS-TIPS. That's 1-800-447-8477. By fax at 1-800-223-8164, or by TTY at 1-800-377-4950. Our last article today discusses how to avoid scams that bereaved individuals might encounter after the loss of a loved one. Obituary Scams by AARP. Originally published in 2020 and updated September 2023. When a spouse, parent, sibling, or close friend dies, it's natural to want to tell that individual's story, to share in obituaries what made the cherished person special, and to swap memories on social media. But as you celebrate a loved one's life and mourn his or her death, take care what you share, because scammers are paying attention too. Obituary scams, also known as bereavement scams, typically start with information gleaned from death notices in newspapers or posted online. Criminals harvest facts commonly included in obits, such as deceased's birth date, where the person lived and worked, and family members' names, to start building a profile for identity theft. With just a few key details, customers can locate and purchase a dead person's personal data on the dark web, including home address and social security number. They use that information to access or create financial accounts, take out loans, obtain health care, or file phony tax returns, and claim bogus refunds, under the deceased name, a form of ID theft dubbed ghosting. Or they'll weave what they've learned about a recent death into imposter scams targeting a surviving spouse or other family member. Criminals posing as government officials, debt collectors, or insurance agents try to pry loose more personal data about the deceased or solicit payment for a supposedly unpaid bill, unclaimed benefit, or lapsed policy. Some bereavement scams are more involved, and they can get personal. Obit-scouring criminals pretend to be long-lost friends or relatives of the deceased, contacting surviving spouses out of the blue to commiserate and reminisce. These displays of simulated compassion can evolve into romance scams or attempts to defraud beneficiaries out of inheritance money. Criminals are fond of obituary scams because the victims are either dead, so they're unable to monitor financial accounts and credit reports for unusual activity, or emotionally vulnerable and potentially more prone to manipulation. Some scammers even pose as psychics or spiritual advisors, draining money from grieving people by promising to use supernatural means to ease their loss. Another twist. Criminals pretend to be calling from the funeral home or cemetery hired by bereaved family members and try to obtain financial information, according to a recent alert from the International Cemetery, Cremation, and Funeral Association. Some warning signs. You get a call from an alleged government official, debt collector, or insurance broker about outstanding taxes, unpaid bills, or unfinished business supposedly left by a recently deceased loved one. The caller pressures you to pay immediately and asks for payment by wire transfer, gift card, or reloadable cash card, all bright red flags for scams. You receive bills or spot credit card activity for expenses accrued after your loved one's death. How to protect yourself from these scams? Report a loved one's death to Social Security as soon as possible by calling 800-772-1213. Send a copy of the death certificate to the IRS so that officials can flag the deceased tax account. Notify banks and other financial institutions that the late loved one used. If you close accounts, ask that they be listed as closed. Account holder is deceased. Notify the major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, so that they can place a death notice in the deceased's credit file. This should prevent fraudulent applications for credit from being approved. Get a copy of the deceased's credit report right after death and a few months later to check for fraudulent activity. Be wary of long-lost relatives or friends of the deceased who contact you, especially on social media, and raise financial issues or attempt to forge a relationship. Ask family and old friends if they know or recall the person. When writing an obituary, leave out the details that could be used for identity theft, such as the deceased's date and place of birth, middle name, maiden name, and mother's maiden name. And don't include the deceased's home address. If the obituary also notes the date and time of the funeral, burglars can break into the presumably empty house during the service. Don't let a debt collector scare you into paying financial obligations for a late spouse, parent, or sibling. Generally, the estate is liable for any debts, not the survivors. There are some exceptions for co-signed loans and jointly held financial accounts and other community property rules in some states. The U.S. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has more information. More resources. Report obituary scams or theft of a deceased person's identity to the Federal Trade Commission at reportfraud.ftc.gov or 877-382-4357. If the fraud was perpetrated online, also report it to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. AARP has a checklist of steps to take when a loved one dies. Check their website for more details. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Bob Decker, volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you on our stream, on demand, or on the Sun Sounds app on your smartphone or home device.